Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes in the program. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us to talk about single issue politics. I'm one. I've said it for years. I wish I didn't have to be, but I do have to be. After 36 years of decriminalized abortion in the United States, that has forced me to be, in most cases, a single issue voter. So what does that make me? Someone who can't see the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest, as the case may be? Someone who doesn't think broadly enough or widely enough about the future of our country? Does it make me backward? We're going to talk about single-issue voting. Colleen Carroll Campbell, a regular guest, is St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Are single-issue voters uneducated, closed-minded, backwater voters?
Well, you'd certainly get that impression if you were reading the Washington Post about 15 years ago. I think those exact words were used to describe members of the so-called religious right. Largely poor, uneducated, and easy to command was actually the wording I think they used. Look, that's the impression, but the reality is that the fact that many Americans are committed enough to the pro-life cause to make it a top priority has gradually, over the decades, made a huge difference in the way this country thinks about abortion and the dignity of human life across the age spectrum. And we're making a difference on the ground in terms of laws and abortion rates. So I don't think it's short-sighted at all to keep this as a top priority.
Well, it's been good for the agenda, but someone might say, look, it's a tunnel vision. When you can't see anything but abortion, you're likely as a voter to let all sorts of other issues kind of go by the wayside and go to heck in a handbasket. Is that true for the single-issue voter? Does the track record support that?
No, I don't think it does. I think pro-lifers have differing views on a whole host of issues, but what they share in common is a sense that the right to life is fundamental. It's a foundational issue upon which everything else is based. If we can't guarantee the right to life of every innocent human being in this country, then it doesn't much matter that this candidate's promising me a free paid vacation, and this candidate is promising me a better health care premium, and this one promises to do better on global warming. And yet we're still saying that it's okay for unborn children to be killed by the millions every year. And so that's just, it's a civilizational issue, and it's a worldview question. It's a question of what kind of leaders are we putting into office when they can't decide if human life has fundamental value. If they can't figure that one out, as far as I'm concerned, then they've got a lot of things that are going to flow from that skewed worldview that's going to be problematic.
I wonder how many of the folks who decry single-issue voting when it comes to abortion would say the same thing about single-issue voting during the middle of the 19th century here in the United States, where the issue was slavery.
Exactly. It's a very interesting parallel, and you don't hear about it a lot on the other side of this issue. But absolutely, abortion and, more broadly speaking, the right to life of every innocent human being, and we're talking now about embryo-destructive research, about euthanasia, the so-called right-to-die movement, that crowd, as well as legalized abortion. We're talking about something that affects all across the spectrum. And we're really talking about a social justice issue. We're often told that there are social justice issues over here Christians need to care about, and then there's the abortion issue, the right to life issue over there. But actually, the right to life is foundational as a social justice issue. And just as slavery and segregation were social justice issues, where the church and where Christians played a leading role in not bending until those wrongs were rectified, so too the church and Christians need to stand up on these issues. And you know what? Is compromise really laudable in every situation? Well, sometimes you got to compromise on a bill that's not perfect, a politician who's not perfect. But when you're compromising year after year on the right to life of an innocent human being because, well, you'd really like to see a better health care premium, or you're really a little more worried about global warming this year, I don't think history is going to look kindly on that. I do think the trend in history and in this country is an expanding circle of protection. And I think when that circle finally expands to include every unborn human life, those who opposed it and said, well, why do we have to keep talking about that issue, are really going to be on the wrong side of history, and they're going to regret it.
Well, you know, that raises a question in my mind. Maybe not all, but most voters at least my contention is most voters are single issue voters. It just depends on what the issue is. Everybody has a make it or break it issue upon which any individual candidate can lose their vote.
That's absolutely right. And all you have to do is drive down the highway and see, I care about animals and I vote. I care about the environment and I vote. You know, I'm pro-choice and I vote. So it's really interesting to me. A lot of people have pet issues. Just about everyone does. As you said, a make it or break it issue. And it seems that, once again, it tends to be Orthodox small O Christians who defend the right to life as a matter of faith and reason, who always get singled out as the single-issue tunnel-vision voters, when no one's saying that about the Greens or the people whose main issue is they need low taxes no matter what, or the people who think the only thing they really need to worry about is the environment. You know, a lot of people have issues that are important to them, but this is a foundational civilizational issue, and I think it absolutely makes sense to make it a top priority.
I guess we should point out that there are people, and you just hinted at this, there are people who are single-issue voters on the other side of abortion, on the choice side.
That's right. And it's important to watch how they regard this election and other elections. For instance, we often hear among people who are advocating against pro-life candidates that, well, they can't do much about things anyway. It doesn't really matter. But all you have to do is check out the NARAL Pro-Choice America website if you want to know what they think a pro-life politician can do in terms of what's their view. I mean, someone like President George W. Bush is declared public enemy number one on that website. I mean, you would think he was literally putting women in chains from reading some of their over-the-top rhetoric. But if you look at that, they will tick off his pro-life accomplishments. You know, he reinstituted the Mexico City policy that prohibited taxpayer money from supporting abortion overseas. He signed the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, the partial birth abortion ban. His two appointees to the Supreme Court were justices who upheld that partial birth abortion ban and could become part of a majority. All we need really is one more to possibly overturn Roe versus Wade. So the other side is very clear on what a difference a pro-life politician can make. They see it as a negative, obviously, but we can learn a lot from them in terms of the way they marshal their resources and get serious about people who share their views into public office.
Okay, two quick final questions with only about 20 seconds for each, all right? What are your expectations for the vice presidential debate tonight?
Well, I think we're all watching to see how Sarah Palin will do. Joe Biden has a history of gaffes, so he is by no means out of the water, but I think it's really Sarah Palin's show. And people are watching to see if, in a sense, she can take the gloves off and be herself and not be micromanaged and not feel she has to fit into someone else's niche and just get out there, show us some substance, and show us that fight that we saw when she originally accepted the nomination.
And then if someone gets an email or a phone call from one of those groups that's trying to say, don't be a single-issue voter, expand your mind, make the case to them right now with 30 seconds, Colleen, that the life issue is the single most important issue in our day.
Well, in 30 seconds, you know, the right to life comes before the right to liberty and the right to pursuit of happiness in our founding documents. We know that the right to life is fundamental to the flourishing of any free society. Without that, the rest of these rights and privileges and goodies that politicians promise us really don't matter much. And we need to remember the courts, especially Roe versus Wade. We're one judge away from overturning Roe versus Wade. This is not the time to retreat and forget about single-issue politics as it's known.
Are you going to be able to be at that debate tonight since it's here in St. Louis?
You know, I'm not. I kind of wished when it came up I had worked on wrangling a ticket, but I hadn't gotten around to it, and suddenly it crept up on me. So
it kind of creeped up on everybody. Colleen, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
You can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the on-demand page of our website. She's got a column there, There's Nothing Wrong with Single-Issue Politics, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes those weekly columns for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. In 150 years ago, it would have been considered probably, we'll look back out on from the perspective of history. What do we think of those who were voting to keep slavery legal, safe in our country? What do we think of those who seceded from the Union in order to keep slavery an institution legal and safe? Who argued that new territories ought to be slavery territories, legal and safe? We think they were on the wrong side of history. We think they did not understand the value of basic human rights, the value of the dignity of human beings in their lives, don't we? You know, that's history just doesn't give us that perspective. Let's learn from history's perspective on that issue and apply it to today, the history we're making right here, right now, and recognize that there's a new issue on the table that really is the overriding issue, the foundational issue, the one apart from which all other issues really become moot. The issue of life, protecting life from beginning to end, protecting life in the womb, at birth, all throughout our ordinary course of days until its natural end. That's really the issue of our day. And there will be people 150 years from now, Lord willing, who will look back upon us and will say, there, they understood what this basic, fundamental, foundational right really was, and they voted to protect those most vulnerable, their neighbors, even in the womb. I'm Todd Wilken. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.